Daf is Daf Pei Beis. We finish the seventh parak. We begin the eighth parak today. So the top of the Daf begins Gufa. We saw yesterday a discussion about whether Rabbi Yehuda says certain statements. Is he arguing on the Tanakhama or is he explaining the Tanakhama? So Gemara says Gufa Amar Rabbi Shub ben Levi. Kol Malkum Sheamar Rabbi Yehuda Emasai Uvameh. Those two phrases, those two words, Mishasenu in the Mishnah, Eino Elo Lefarish Divrei Chachamim. All he's coming to is to explain. He's not coming to argue. That's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. For Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Emasai Lefarish Uvameh Lachlok. It depends. Emasai is coming to explain, and the word Vameh is coming to argue. So Gemara challenges this and says, Ve'emasai Lefarish. Is it really true that the word Ve'emasai is Rabbi Yehuda coming to explain? The Mishnah tells us, Ve'elu's mission in Maseches Sanhedrin, Ve'elohim Psulin, the following apostle, Le'edis, Hamasachik Bukuvia, Umava Beribis, person who plays with dice and bets, and person who lends with interest, Umafricha Yonim, which Umar explains people who would have these types of races with birds, the Sochre Shivius, people who sell Shemitah, fruits. So Amr Yehuda, Amasai, when is this true? Bizman She'ain Lo Umanus, when they have no other job, this is their only form of making Parnasa, Elahi. If they have another job outside of this, this is a side gig, this is something else they do when they have free time, Harehu Kasher, he's actually Kasher. So this is only true when their only profession is betting, lending an interest. But once they have their lawyer and they do this on the side, Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. So Gemara says, V'tani Allah, B'Brice. The Brice says, V'chachamim omrim, Bein She'ein Lo Umanus Elohi, Bein She'eshu Umanus Shelohi, Harezet Pasul. Chachamim clearly hold that regardless of whether they have or don't have another job, if they are involved in betting, Mesach B'Kubia, Malva B'Ribis, they are certainly Pasul. So this is clear that Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing, even though in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Emasai. So Emasai is not coming to explain, Emasai is coming to argue. So the Gemara says, no, Ha-hui ha-hi, Rabbi Yehuda amirari tarfoni. When Rabbi Yehuda is presented in the Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin, that's not Rabbi Yehuda as we normally know it. That's a Rabbi Yehuda who's quoting the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. Who's Rabbi Tarfon? The Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Tarfon. The Olam Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, the Fisha Ein Nazir's Elal Hafla. So it's talking about a situation where if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, Shnaim Shiyoshin Viro Echad Ba. Two people are standing, rather sitting. You see a guy walking by from the distance. Amar Echad Man, Hareni Nazir, Shazer Nazir. I'm a Nazir, that guy's a Nazir. And the other guy says, Amar Chaveiro, Hareni Nazir, Shainta Nazir. I'm a Nazir, that guy's not a Nazir. So that their each statement depends on what the status of that guy who they're seeing from a distance. So in that case, you would think it works. So they made a Nazir al Idei Tanai. So the guy who thinks, if he's actually a Nazir, so Reuven's a Nazir. If he's not a Nazir, so then Shimon's a Nazir. So that seems like a very reasonable statement to be a Nazir. Rabbi Tarfon says neither one is a Nazir. Why? Back inside the Gemara, read that again. That Rabbi Tarfon, the Olam Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, neither one are Nazir. The Fishain Nazirus Elal Hafla. The Pasuk uses a lashon of Kiyafli. I have to be clear. Has to be a flaw where things are very like a Niflal Sabore, a Pella, something is very clear. Your statement of Nazirus must be very, very clear. Once it's dependent on a certain stipulation, that doesn't work. That's the understanding of Rabbi Tarfon by Nazirus. Alma, we see from here, came in the Misafka Lei, I Nazir, I Lo Nazir, Lo Mishabi Nafshi. So since the person is not sure whether the guy walking is really a Nazir or not, he's not really Mishabit himself. He's not really taking upon himself in the Zeros. So what does that have to do with us? Hachanami came into Lo Yadda, Ikani, Ilokani, Lo Gamer, Umakner. In a similar way, since the person is not sure if he's going to win or not win, he's not entirely going to Makner the money over. When you put money in the pot, no one's really willing to give the money. He thinks he's going to win. So since it's not the full Gemir Sadas when he gives up the money that he might eventually lose, or anybody who's involved, the monies of the winnings that I get, no one really thinks they're going to lose. That's not considered right. And therefore, it's us. So that person's a Gazlan who bets as possible Adis. And now these halachas and the zeros and Masachah could be very, very different. But the Gemara equates them anyways, just because they're similar in terms of a lack of smicha zadas by Nazirus doesn't work, so too a lack of smicha zadas by Kinyanim doesn't work either. And again, that Rabbi Yehuda is a unique position of Rabbi Tarfon. But in general, when Rabbi Yehuda uses the language of Amasai throughout Mishnayos, it does mean that he's lefarish, not coming to argue. Hajin alach chalam. So now the next paragraph begins as follows.
So when somebody makes a shua for another, at the moment he makes a shua, he has to know exactly, clearly.
Exactly. Right. So new parak begins as follows. How does one make a shituf when it comes to an Erev Tchumim? So there's an interesting language that they're using here. Mishatfin b'tchumim. We always use an Erev Tchumim. What does it mean, mishatfin b'tchumim? That's a lashon shituf mevos. So we're about to see in just a moment, because the Mishnah continues to say, that this tchum is going to work for my entire city, to anyone who's coming to the Beis HaEvel, we're going to Sheva Brachos of some sort. So Miri explains, since this is more of a city-wide type of Erev, we could use Lashon Mishtatvin, right? An Erev Chatzeros is much more local. A Shita Mevalos is much more city-bound. So therefore, since this is a tchum that he's applying to the entire city, the Lashon Mishatvin is used as opposed to Marvin. That's how the Miri understands this. So the Mishnah goes on to say, so if they're being mishatif b'tchumim to and the meniach hasachavis v'omer harezeh l'chol bnei iri l'chol mishiyelcha beis ha'evel l'chol beis ha'mishri going to a certain mitzvah v'chol shekibel alav mibod yom, if they recabel the tchum before Shabbos had begun, mutter, however mishatichshach aser. But once nightfall has set in, it's aser to create a tchum. She'ein ma'arvin mishatichshach. You're not allowed to make an erev tchum once it gets dark. So there is a machlokas in the Rishon. What about Bein HaShmashas? What about in between? Where the Mishnah clearly says Misha Techshach, which is Tseis. Tseis certainly doesn't work. But what, what about before that time? So there's a lot of things, Bein HaShmashas, it's Aser to make a Tchum, Erev Tchumim during Bein HaShmashas. There's a Rashi, however, earlier in the Masechta, which said that you can actually make an Erev Tchum Bein HaShmashas. There's an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, where the one says a Bracha, when setting up an Erev Tchum in general. The Rambam says one does say a bracha. The Rabbi says you don't say a bracha. How do you say the word Sivanu? You're not commanded to do Tchum. Sivanu is when you're taking upon yourself a Chumra. Tchum is a kula that allows me to go in that direction. There's a certain kula. You can't say Sivanu. Sivanu is something that's limiting, not something that's a leniency to you. So Rabbi felt that was wrong. But the Magen Mishnah goes against the Rabbi and says there are many instances where you do things that are not a Chumra and you still say a bracha. It gives the example of a shechita. A shechita is a kula. You could eat the animal now. It's not a mitzvah, according to many. It's just a mati that you're allowed to eat an animal. That's a kula. He's not really sure where the Ravid comes from. But at the end of the day, it is an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Ravid whether or not one does, in fact, say a bracha. So let's go ahead in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Ein Marvin, El Davar Mitzvah. You're only allowed to set up an Erev Tchum if you're going to perform a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, my kamashal mitzvah chiddush tanina. The Mishnah clearly gives examples of only that which is dvar mitzvah. It says in our Mishnah, the chol mishiyelech lebeis ha'evel, oh, lebeis ha'mishnah. So those are mitzvahs. So why would you think otherwise? So the Gemara explains, the same. I would have thought the examples listed in the Mishnah was orcha de milsa. Those are common reasons why people go outside the tchum. But in a chanami, maybe a person is allowed to go outside the tchum just to, he wants to go for a stroll, he wants to go for a tiyul of some sort. Maybe that should work as well. Therefore, kamash malam, Rav Yosef had to teach us, no, the Mishnah is giving examples that only those types of examples work for dvar mitzvah. But if it's a dvar rishus, in a chanami, it would not work. There is an interesting debate in the Rishonim. Let's say a person makes a tchum anyways for dvar rishus. Would that work b'di'eved nonetheless? And there is a machlok of Rishonim whether it works b'di'eved for dvar rishus. But in terms of defining what's a dvar mitzvah, however, there is a fascinating discussion. What's considered a dvar mitzvah? So certainly have a base evel, certainly have a base mishnah. Those are considered dvar mitzvah. The Rishonim talk about when it comes to going traveling in a boat within 3 days from the Shabbos, you can only go if it's a dvar mitzvah. What's called a dvar mitzvah? So there's a shita Rabbeinu Tam by going on a sfina, haflagas sfina. He says a person wants to go see a friend or he wants to go do a business. That's called dvar mitzvah. People need to make a parnasa. That's allowed. What would you say when it comes to tchum? So firstly, many Rishonim argue on Rabbeinu Tam by being maflag on a sfina. They don't think going for schora or going to see a friend works, but what would you say by tchum? What would the din be? So the Rambam actually writes by tchum, he does think it's actually a mitzvah. If you want to go see a friend, he says, kabbalas pnei chavero, it's considered a dvar mitzvah for tchum. So you're allowed to go set up a tchum when you want to go see someone. But there is a machlokas within the Rambam. Does he mean a chavero that's a chacham? Or even a stam chaver, just a regular person, who are you allowed to go see? So the Shuas Hadashin says, any friend you want to see, you're allowed to set up a tchum on, before Shabbos begins. That's what the Ramah, when he records it, the Achronim point out, it sounds like the Ramah only allows a tchum to see a friend for Yontif, but not for Shabbos. He only brings it by Hilchas Yontif. So the Achronim figure out why Dafka by Yontif, but either way, they try to figure out what's considered Dvar Mitzvah. One more example of Dvar Mitzvah, the Ma'aril says, going to a minyan would not be considered a Dvar Mitzvah. which is a very strange thing. Magen Rebbe says, what do you mean? We say you have to travel 4 mil to go to it. We have throughout the Gemara is that Rebbe Elazar would be Meshachar Avdo to make a minyan. How can you say it's an Avdvar Mitzvah? So the Magen Rebbe argues that it is considered a mitzvah and one can extend the tchum in order to make a minyan. Interesting. You have to, I guess, do a survey throughout Shas how they use the word Dvar Mitzvah elsewhere. I'm not sure. Could be.
If they do it for Dvar Mitzvah and then it gets cancelled, can they still use it?
Yeah, probably, because if the beginning of Shabbos started that way, I would think so.
Shabbos or Mitzvah, right. Then they can use
it. I don't know. I would think so, though. Okay, the Gemara now says, last 10 lines of the Amud Aleph here, Amar Rav Asi Katan Ben Sheish Yotze Mi Be'er of Imo. A 6-year-old boy is able to be Yotze. I skipped a line, I'm sorry. A few lines earlier than that. I'm sorry. Person makabel tchum before Shabbos, it works. Shmas mina, ain brera. There's no brera. The iyesh brera. If there were to be brera, there were to be retroactive decision making. Tiglai milsa lemafreya the mibod yom havenichale. So the Mishnah says you have to decide where you're going erev Shabbos, where the tchum is going to be. But because there's no brera, I can't say okay wherever it's decided tomorrow retroactively it's going to work today. So must be it doesn't work. So you have to know that you're going to the Dvar Mitzvah. You can't say, I'm saying a Tchum now, in hopes that maybe there's a Dvar Mitzvah tomorrow. Ah, turns out there's a Chacham coming, I'm going to go see him. So retroactively, my Dvar Mitzvah was already in mind from before Shabbos. It says, no, you have to know before Shabbos what the Dvar Mitzvah you're going for. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Hodiyu, V'lo Hodiyu Katanu. Not true. Look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. Hodiyu, Mibod Yom, V'lo Hodiyu Katani. Meaning, Hodiyu, Mutter, Apa pishlo nisratza mibod yom v'nisratza mishachashecha aminun huver asher kodem zman k'nias erev daito l'chachaya. Let me read a little bit further. Lo hodiyu, if you didn't know about it, ad shechashecha my brera ika hala haviyada d'ika erev d'neima daito alehave. What it means is that not about brera or not brera, you have to be aware of it before Shabbos or not. Maybe you had a consent afterwards, but you have to at least know about it. You have to know about there was a tchum set up. If you didn't know there's a tchum set up at all, there's nothing to talk about. If you knew there's a tchum set up before Shabbos, but you only wanted to utilize the tchum on Shabbos itself, retroactively, that actually will work for a person. So it's not really a raya of a brera or not brera, it's just about an awareness of the air being set up or not being set up. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, Katan ben Sheish Yotze, the Erev Imo. A 6-year-old boy is allowed to rely on his mother's Erev. If you look at Rashi, Yotze Be'erev Imo. Erva Imo Latzma, the mother makes her Erev for herself. V'lo Zichta Lo Be'erev. It doesn't include the brother, the son rather, in the Erev. Moli Chasa Imo, the Kegufa Dami. She's allowed to bring him along anyways outside the Tchum because he is like the mother itself. Dimistama Daita Alea de la Sagile Belav Imo. Mistama, she thought about the son. The 6-year-old boy can't stay home himself. If she's traveling 4,000 amos, l'chora, she's having him in mind as well. If you just look at the bottom here, Tosis, interesting Tosis, the last two lines, Tosis writes, Katan ben Sheish Yotze Be'erev Imo, V'yafa gav de'ein ma'arvin elo d'var mitzvah, even though you can only make an error for d'var mitzvah, and a katan is not chayv mitzvah, so what's the mitzvah to speak of for a katan? V'komakam Yotze Katan Be'erev Imo, still nonetheless he could rely on his mother's, de'iyah sharla l'anicho b'shem d'karach acharev. In other words, her ability to do mitzvahs is really taught on his ability to come with him. So granted, the katan himself has no mitzvahs, but she needs to do the mitzvah. So if she's tied down by the son, she's stuck, she can't do a mitzvah. So he must come with her, but it's her mitzvah, not his mitzvah. Ein hachanami, the katan has no mitzvahs, granted. Second answer is, inami, what you all would have answered, b'katan nami ika mitzvah l'chanecha. There's a mitzvah. The katan also performs a mitzvah. So these 2 days in Tosas actually hinges on a very interesting machlokas we've shown. We have Rashi and Tosas throughout Shas. What is the mitzvah of chinuch? Is the mitzvah of chinuch on the child that he has to do mitzvahs? Or the mitzvah is on the parent, that the parent has to ensure that the children are doing mitzvahs, but the child gets no mitzvah. So the first answer of Tosas says, the child gets no mitzvah. The only reason why you can include him is because the mother needs to go there, but the child has no mitzvah. The second answer to Tosfos says, no, chinuch means that the child himself does perform a mitzvah. Granted, it's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's a mitzvah midirbanan, but still the children does have children do have a chiyuv of performing mitzvahs.
Once he turns 6, that's it. He cannot rely on his mother's.
Exactly. So Gemara now says, a 6-year-old boy can rely on his mother's eruv. Meisive, katan shit tzarech li'imo, yotze be'eruv imo, v'she'en tzarech li'imo, ein yotze be'eruv imo. So here the braisa presents it not by age, but by maturity. V'tna nami, Gabi Sukkah. It says by Sukkah as well. Kiai Gavna, similar phrase. Katan Shein Tzarech L'Imo Chai B'Sukkah. If a child is someone independent and does not need his mother, he's Chai in Sukkah. What's the definition? What's the age of a child who doesn't need his mother? Any child who could use a bathroom and clean himself, that's a mature child. Anybody who wakes up and doesn't call his mother. Even an older boy will call his mother from the bed when he wakes up. Not a child, so you know, whatever age that might be. It could be a 10-year-old, 11-year-old will call the mother from the bed. So Ella, Ema, Kosha, Nira, Mishasov, Eino, Kori, Ema, double Ushin. What that means is if a you know a 2-year-old boy, a 3-year-old boy, a girl will call the mother constantly until she comes. Mommy, 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 Ema, 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 Ema. A 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy would just say mommy once and wait for a response until the mother finally comes, or call another time a couple minutes later. So that's what it means when it's constantly calling the mother's name. That's the age of a tzarech l'imo. Once he's graduated above that, he only calls his mom one time, so then that's ein tzarech l'imo. Doesn't really need the mother. So okay, l'maisa, what does that mean for us? So v'kama, how old is that? Kfar arba l'kfar chamesh, a child who's the age of 4 or 5 already doesn't start screaming mother constantly, and therefore it's a different age than 6. So that's a big machlok, not big, but it's a machlok because it's the age of 6, or it's the age of 4 or 5. So the Gemara says on the top of Amud Beis here, Amar of Yeshua, Bre de Rav Idi, Ki Kamar of Asi, when Rav Asi said his din, Rav Asi is the one who said the first bin of 6. When did he say the age of 6? Kagon She'er V'alav Aviv L'Tzafon, V'Imo L'Darom, Da'afilu Bar Sheish Nami B'Tzavsa, What this means is that really, he agrees that age of 4 or 5, the child is independent. But let's say, now both his father and mother make an heir for him anyways. He didn't need it, but they made him an heir for him anyways. So now he has to decide who does he rather be with, his mother who went to the north, or the father who went to the south. And the Gemara says, even though a 6-year-old boy is independent, somewhat independent, he'd so much rather hang out with his mother than with his father. Tzav so the ima nichle, he preferred that. But again, l'maisa, a 6-year-old boy is considered somewhat independent. It's just given the options that the parents made an heir for him, he could decide who he wants to. We assume it's the mother. So the Gemara then asks the question, meisive. Katan shetzarech li'imo, yotze be'erv imo, v'kama ad ben sheish, Tiyufta de Rav Yeshua by Rav Idi Tiyufta. Right, this is a clear braisa. Rav Asi and Rav Yeshua Brei de Rav Idi, they were both arguing about the age of 4 versus the age of 6. They're at Machlokas Amarayim. But now we're bringing a braisa that clearly states the age of 6. So this goes against Rav Yeshua Brei de Rav Idi, who felt it was the age of 4. So the Gemara says that Lema Tevet Tiyufta de Rav Asi. It should also be a kasha to Rav Asi, because even Rav Asi, we said he doesn't really argue. He agrees that 4 or 5 is the age of Ein Tzarech L'Imo. It was only the case where both the mother and father made an Erev, so then we say up until the age of 6, he still likes his mother's company. But he agrees that 4 or 5 is an independent age, so the Brisa goes against him as well. So Amar Lecha Rav Asi, Ad V'Ad B'Chlal. It's Ad V'Ad B'Chlal. What does it mean, Ad V'Ad B'Chlal? So if you just look at... here, oh, that's Rashi explaining the Kasha. So Ad V'Ad B'Chlal, what he means is, when it says 6, it means that including the age of 6... And really, the Rav Asi agrees to this. Well, what does that mean? I lost the flow here. 1 second. Let's look at the Rashi just for a moment. Rashi writes, "Lema tevet tiyufta de Rabbi Yanai v'darish v'resh lakish de mifarshe." No, that's actually the next question. So, what's the kasha then? Okay, look at the previous one. "Lema tevet tiyufta de Rav Asi de ad v'lo ad bechlal mashma v'iu amar afil benchesh." When it says until 6, the havamin is until 6, but not including the age of 6. So it sounds like only the age of 4 and 5, while Rasi himself said, including the age of 6. His answer is no, ad vad b'chlal. When the Bari says until 6, it means until, up until, and including the age of 6, and that would be consistent with Rasi. But then the Gemara says, lema teve tiyufta de Rav Yanai Reish Lakish, what about them? They're the ones who explain the age of 4 or 5 is the independent age, and this Bari says the age of 6. So Gemara says no. Really, lokasha. Had the isa avu b'masa, had the lo isa avu b'masa. One is where the father's in the city, one is where the father's not in the city. If you look at Rashi to explain, had the isa avu b'masa v'atinok nichnas v'yotze imo. The child joins the father to go to the city. Lo karle tzarech l'imo miben dalim umala. If he's traveling to the city with his father is somewhat in the area where he is. He doesn't need his mother. He's called independent. But a braisa, when we say the age of 6, When the father is not with him in the city, he's really off on his own, then he does require his mother. Then at the age of 6, still needs tzarach le'imo. So again, if he's traveling to the city with his father, the father's somewhere in the city where he is, not in the same house, but he's somewhere there, he has that sense of security. He knows he can reach his father if he needs to. That's called ein tzarach le'imo. But if he's going to the city and his father's not there at all, then he's still considered tzarach le'imo until he reaches the age of 6, in which case he's considered more independent. So either way, there's a machlokas of different scenarios, different ages of 4, 5, or 6, what's considered a mature enough that's ein tzarach le'imo, and one would need to make their separate erev. Okay.
As I was saying, that Ravasi says ad la bichlal, meaning that Ravasi would say until he turns 7. No. Is that what it is?
No, until 6. Until 6. The price is ad sheish, means until, up until including 6. And we mean once he's 7, he's now considered ein tzarach le'imo.
Because the havamina was that until he turns 5, until he turns 6. Once he's 6, he cannot. Now we say that not, that according that he agreed to the price of that until he turns 7. Right?
No, I think he said that the guy's child is considered ad, he's considered ein tzarach le'imo until he reaches the age of 6.
Right. So once he's 6,
until he completes the year of 6.
No, I think that.
Okay, we'll go through it afterwards. The Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Mariv Aldavai de Beno Bita Ktanim. So, Mariv Aldavai de Beno, if you look at Rashi, Ayyadei means Bishvilon. A person is allowed to be Mariv Bishvil on behalf of a child, Beno Ubito Haktanim, the minors. You're allowed to make it Erev on their behalf. The Ayyadei Avdo Bishivchasa Kananim as well. The reason we'll see in the Gemara in just a moment, because their Yad Rabo, the hand of the Shivcha and Evid, is like the Yad of the master, so he could do this on behalf of the young children, he could do this on behalf of the Avadim and Shifchos, and Bein Ledaito, Bein Shelo Ledaito, whether they are aware or not aware, he has the right, the father and the master has the right to make an Erev for them. If a Jewish maidservant, a Jewish slave, they're not really considered slaves, they're not really considered an extension of the master, he's not allowed to be Ma'ariv for them, nor for the children as well, not his wife either, unless they have consent in doing so. But to Baal Karcho, go against them, to make an error for them, that won't work for the second group here. Tani Idach, the Braisa says further, like we just said above, Ela Midaitan, unless there is consent, that all works, even if they don't know about it. For that second grouping, the same exact braisa as before, just a different order. Mipnei sheyadon kiyado, because their hands, the hands of the Eved Kanani, the hands of Shifcha Kananis, the hands of the young children, are all like the hand of the father slash rabbi, the master. So then the Gemara says, v'kulan sheirvu v'irv alehen rabban yotein bishal rabban chutz mina isha. This is all true. Let's say all the individuals that are subject to the young children and the Shifcha Kananis, if they make their own Erev, and their father or master make an Erev for them, so now whose Erev do they rely on? The Bryce says they rely on the master's Erev. They rely on the father's Erev, and not on their own Erev, with one exception, Chutz, with the exception of Chutz Mina Isha, Bifnei Shiachola Limchos. So the wife, since she has the ability to say, I don't want to be part of your Erev, she has that independence, so therefore she's the one exception that she's not bound by the Erev of her husband. If she makes her own Erev, she could create her own Erev, and she's not stuck to her husband. So the Gemara says, Maishna Isha. Isha Maishna, why only a woman? What about the Bano Gadol and Bito Gadola? Why don't they have their own ability to make their own Erev? Or in Eved Ivri. So Amar, Rabba Isha V'chol D'damilem. When the Braisa says the exception that women are not bound by their husband's Erev, that means a woman and anyone who's like that, anyone else who's independent, are not bound by their husband's or father's or master's Erev. They can make their own independent Eruvin. So Gemar now says, Amar Mar, Chutz Mina Isha Mipnei Shiachola Limchos, with the exception of a woman. Why? Because she has the ability to be Mocha. So the Gemara is now being medayik, even though it says she has the ability, the Gemara is medayik that time at the machi, only if she actually does protest and say, listen, I don't want to use your Erev, I want to make my own Erev. Hostama, nafka medabaila, but sounds like if it's a stam case where she didn't actually protest, then she just went about her way, so then she would actually be included in her husband's Erev. That's the mashmaos of the braisa. So Gemara says, hakatani reisha, but doesn't reisha say, ela midaitam, that it only works if she's aware? Sounds like stam case, it wouldn't work. She has to be aware of the Erev. So which one is it? What would you say by a stam case? Meaning everyone agrees if she had dasti part of her husband's erev, she says she certainly is. If she was mocha not to be part of it, then she's certainly not part of it. The question is the stam case where she didn't express her interest. How do you categorize it? Do we say it's a stam case like the husband, or stam case she's not part of the husband? So the Gemara says, my lav damri in. When we said in the Medaitan that she expressed her willingness, does that not mean where she said explicitly she wants to be part of it, implying that if she was stam, that it wouldn't be part of the husband's erev? The Gemara says, no, lo, my elamidaitam dishake, that she was quiet. The husband made an erev, and she didn't say a thing. That's considered medaitam. That's considered she had consent. That's a stam case where it actually does work. Lafuke heichad amrilo, as opposed to if she says, no, I don't want to be there, so then she's excluded from the erev. But if she just stayed quiet, that's a case of stam, and that's what it means, medaitam. So Gemara says, v'ha v'kulan she'irvu v'irv aleim rabban yotzim b'shel rabban, that if they all make an erev, and she makes, or anyone makes a separate Erev, they include it in the master's Erev, except the woman is the one exception. B'stamhu, that's a stam case, v'katan yichutz min ha'isha. And the woman's excluded, d'lo nafke, that she's not yotzi with the husband's Erev. Now this is a strange hamin, the Gemara is about to explain in just a second. It's not a stam case, because she made her own Erev. So the Gemara explains, even though she may not have said anything, and she didn't opt out, Amarava came in she'irvu, since she made her own Erev, there's no greater expression of a lack of interest in the husband's Erev. So this is all true. A stam case, the Gemara concludes, she is part of her husband's Erev. It's only when she either says she doesn't want to be, or she actually makes her own Erev, does it indicate that she's not part of it. But a stam case, she would be included in her husband's Erev. So now this is where it gets a bit tricky, this next Mishnah and Gemara. Okay, so the first half of the Mishnah is pretty smooth, and the second half is pretty tricky. So hopefully we'll take it a little bit slow. It's only tricky just because you have to follow along. You know, if we were talking in dollars and cents, things would be much easier. But we're talking in a language and currency that we don't really know. But hopefully this we'll try to make it as clear as possible. So the Mishnah says, Kama hu shiro, what's the shear of the Erev? Mazon shtei sudos l'cholechad v'echad, mizono l'chol v'lo l'shabbos, divrei Rebbe Meir. Each person has to have an Erev tchum that consists of two meals worth. And 2 meals worth that a person eats on a weekday, not on a Shabbos. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'Shabbos v'lo l'chol. He says, no, the 2 meals that a person eats on Shabbos, not what he eats during the weekday. They actually both felt more lenient. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, he felt people eat more on Shabbos than during the week. So the weekday meal would be the what you should use, the smaller shear. And Rabbi Yehuda felt that people actually ate more during the week, and they ate less on Shabbos. So since Shabbos is less, you followed the Shabbos meal. So they just felt you should take the smaller shear. They just were arguing when do people eat more, on Shabbos or the weekday. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, Miskabnin lahakel, halfway down the Rashi, Rabbi Meir, Savar b'Shabbos, achel inish tfei, mishum de basim tafshila. Since the food tastes and smells so good, people eat more on Shabbos. That's a quotation from the Gemara we're about to see, that people, because of the smell, because of the taste, they're going to eat more. The Shabbos is a larger meal. So that's why Rabbi Meir says, you use the weekday meals, which is a smaller shear. But Rashi continues, Rabbi Yehuda Savar came into the Shabbos, so you have 3 meals, it's a lot of meals for one day. The people eat less on a Shabbos. Okay, I would imagine, I think the practice is more consistent with Rabbi Meir, that we eat more on Shabbos than during the week, but who knows? So that's the machlokas. So the Gemara is going to address this in a little bit. But now, there's a second machlokas, it's really a four-way machlokas, that even though they're talking about a meal during the week on Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon are going to give an exact shear, a calculation of a shear of an amount of food. So let's look at this one, be very, very slow and careful how to calculate the following. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, he said, Mikikar bepunyon midalad se'on bisela. Okay, so if you have kikar, a piece of bread that's bought with one pundion, so you want to actually get two kikars, you want to get two meals here. So it's when you could buy using a pundion, which is a type of coin, to buy a kikar. And what's the measurement? It's bidalad sa'in bisela, when 4 sa' per sela. So what does that all mean here? So let's say this outside first, and then we'll put it together. Sela is a coin, and a sa' is the volume of wheat you're using, okay? So we have to now bring a sela to the level of a punyon. We have to calculate that, what a sela means, and that's like a dollar to pennies. How do you calculate a sela into punyon? And then we have to move from a sa to a kav, because we're talking about kav right now. So a sa is a certain volume. how that calculates into a kav. So I'll say it outside first. Actually, when I was looking at the article, the other Mati Slansky's article, he has a beautiful picture here from my website, which actually helps. So it helps me. So we'll say it, and then we'll try to look at Rashi. Hopefully, this will come together. So one sela is 4 dinar. Okay? And now, a dinar is 6 mea. So that means there's 24 mea in a sela. So one sela means of 24 mea. And each mea consists of 2 pundion. That's 48. So now there are 48 pundion in a sela. That's a coin. Let's assume a sela is like a dollar, and a pundion is a penny. So not the same ratio, but the 48 pundion in one sela. So now we're looking for 48 pundion. And now a sela, not a sela, but a sela is a volume. There's 6 kav is a sela. And now in 24 kav, so 4 sela means 24 kav. Okay, so what we tried doing here in the Mishnah says you want to get to a point where 4 sela equals 1 sela. So that the same thing as saying 20 kav for 48 pundion. That's the equation, right? We brought a sela, came down to 48 pundion, and a sela came down to 24 kav. So the equation now is 24 kav to 48 pundion. If we break that down now, so we have 1 pundion is a half a kav, if you're still with me.
One pundion.
Right, so 1 pundion is half a kav. So then you have, so that's a shear. 2 pundion would be 1 full kav. So now, what you want here is, if you look at Rashi, hopefully make this somewhat clear now. Hopefully that's a good background. If you look at Rashi, kikar halakuach minanachtum bepudyon, kishinimkarin arba saan beselah. When you use 1 pudyon to buy a bread, when the bread is the measurement of an arba saa per sela. Hashta, sakadaita chatzi kav, have shesus. The hava mida right now is a half a kav is the equal 2 meals, ketad. Shesh meos ladinar, every dinar has 6 meos. And their mea shte, and each mea is shte pundion, so that's nimsa dinar yudbeis pundion. So every dinar is 12 pundion. It's a little bit different direction I said to you. Nimsa, turns out 1 sela is, because there are 4 dinar in a sela, so 1 sela equals 48 memchas pundionum. And now a similar case. A sea is shisha kabin. And the dalit sum, that means 4 sum, are 24 kabin. Hare, what comes out is the 48 mem ches chatzin kabin, the 48 half kabin, a chatzi kav lepundion. That's the calculation according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that again, with the pundion, you could buy a half a kav of bread. Okay, that's starting point. That's just the calculation. We're going to get to the Gemara a little bit further about this. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon Omer, he holds that back inside the Mishnah, shte yados lekikar mishlosh lekav. So it's so hard to understand what's going on here. But here's a different calculation using a little bit different terms. So here, the way it works is 1 kav equals 9 meals. Now, 9 meals, you could present 9 meals in 3 bread. So if you like, look at the picture, maybe it's helpful here. Each of these 3 loaves here consists of 3 meals. Right? A huge challah, it's not 1 meal for one guy, it's 3 meals. So what happens is, if you group 3 meals into each loaf, so this 3 meals, that 3 meals, that 3 meals, that's 9 sudos, that's 9 meals. So 1 kav could produce 3 loaves of bread, which is a total of 9 meals. Fine. Now he says is, a size of a loaf that size, a 3 meal worth kikar, you only need shnei yados, 2/3 of that kav, loaf. That's the shear that he's looking for. So just look at Rashi to put this all together a little bit. So it's not easy. Rashi says that Rabbi Shimon memait Mishir, v'omer teisha sudos yesh l'kav. Every kav has 9 meals worth. V'day le'eruv, it's enough for the eruv to be set up. B'beiz yados shel kikar shel gimel kikaros l'kav. Remember, if each of these loaves is worth 3 meals, we only need 2 sudos. So all you need is 2/3 of those meals. So a kav can produce 9 meals. You only need 2/3 of one of those breads of the 3 meals. That's what Rashi says again, that bebez yados shall kikar of one of the loaves, which are shall ki 3 kakaros lakav. When a kav produces 3 different loaves of bread, you only need 2/3 of each of the bread. Nimtzar kikar shlema shlishes akav. Okay, fine. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that's Rabbi Shimon. Hopefully that's somewhat understandable. Now, the Gemara says, the Mishnah concludes, and says a completely different topic, Chetzia lebeis hamanuga. When it comes to beis hamanuga, the din is, if a person walks into a house that has neged saras on it, so then he's tamei immediately, but his clothing are only tamei if he stays in there a period of time that takes to eat a k'techilis pras. How long it takes to eat, how much? A amount of bread that's half a loaf of bread that we just mentioned above. Chatzi, half of that loaf of bread, that's how long a guy has to be there for his clothing to become tamei. And one step further, the Mishnah says, the chetche, half of the half, which is a quarter of the loaf we described above, would be lipsolis agvia. If a person were to eat ochel that's tamei, the din is there at midiraisa. When you eat food that's tamei, you don't become tamei. Food, tamei food, cannot make a person tamei. But Chachamim made a din that midirbanan, a person can become tamei. How much tamei food does a person need to eat in order to become tamei? If he eats a quarter of the loaf of bread we mentioned above, he's tamei midirbanan. If he eats that amount of food. Fine. So that's the end of the Mishnah. So Gemara now wants to know, Bekama mazon shei suda. So we're going now, we had four shitas in the Mishnah. The first shita we had in Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda, about the shear of a weekday meal versus a Shabbos meal. So the Gemara says, how much is the shei suda? So give me something to work with here. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, tarte rivsa ikraisa. The two loaves of bread that the ikraisa, I think farmers would eat, that they take out to the field, that's the size that we're talking about. And Rav Ada Bar Ava Amar tarte rivsa nar pipyasa, the two loaves of bread that they would have in this river, that the area, that's the shear of the loaves of bread that they're describing in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the beginning of the Reish of the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, Amar le, Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef, Bered Rava, Avuch, Kaman Tzvir le, your father Rava, who does he hold like? Can Rabbi Meir, he holds like Rabbi Meir, that people eat more on Shabbos, so therefore we use the shear of what one eats during the week. So the Gemara, so he says back, Ananami, Rabbi Meir, Tzvir le, I also hold like Rabbi Meir, because Zik, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, how can you say, Rabbi Yehuda, that you eat more on the weekday than on Shabbos? People don't eat less on Shabbos because people say, Ravscha, the Besima, Shchiach, the increased taste, the increased smell of food on Shabbos makes a person eat more. So you could be really full, but you smell something delicious, you're going to eat more even though you're very stuffed. Shabbos, the smell, the aroma fills the kitchen, fills the dining room. People eat a lot more on Shabbos, so therefore the shear that one should be using is what one eats during the weekday, not what one eats on Shabbos. So now this is where it gets a little bit trickier now. The Gemara points out, say before we go ahead, the Gemara points out that this calculation of a pundion we spoke of for the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka for the certain amount was not really a fair amount because, it doesn't really work that a pundion, one coin, goes for shtei sudas for two meals because you also have to pay the chedvani, the one who makes it, who sells it, he also deserves some money. So how much of the coin is going not only for the produce, but he's going to pocket himself. He needs to make a profit. Where's his profit? So Gemara is going to present that of the pundion, actually, I'll say it outside, the first opinion holds, a third of the pundion actually goes towards the chadvani, to pay him. So you're only using two-thirds to get the meals, so now you have to add another third to get a full pundion. We're trying to figure out how much bread you could buy with a pundion. So really, two-thirds of a pundion only buys, less than two meals worth. So we'll go through the calculation in just a second. And the other opinion thinks it's actually half. The revenue is 50%. So now you have to increase what a pudyon it could buy actually double. So the way it worked in the Mishnah, we wanted to figure out what is a kav buy. So one, we said, one pudyon is half a kav. It means two pudyon is a full kav. Okay? So now, if we're saying a pudyon is not really going towards a kav, only two-thirds goes towards a kav. Again, one more thing, sorry. A kav means four sudos also. So one pudyon, two pudyon is one kav, which is four meals. Right. Now, if that two pudyon, if a third of it doesn't go towards, goes towards a chenvani, I'm only doing two-thirds, but two coins of two-thirds, that means a third is being taken out, I'm doubling the amount of meals. To pay a full pudyon, right, again, one-third is giving to the chenvani. So now I'm only using let's do one pudyon. So one pudyon buys you two sudos. So now if I'm only using two-thirds, I need to throw another third of pudyon in there, which is going to be half, an increase of half. So two meals gets me to three meals. So now when I'm using two...
Milibar.
So if I have, again, one pudyon equals two sudos, but now a third being used for chenvani, so really I need to add another amount, so my two is going to double in half, two meals will become three meals. Now that means, if one pudyon really buys me three meals, that means two pudyons are buying me six meals. That's if the one-third of revenue is going to the chenvani. If, however, is that point clear?
No,
a little bit?
Because if one pudyon bought you two meals, now it's going to buy you less.
No, because I'm only really using two-thirds towards bread. The one third is out of the calculation. Now, that's a special thing in the Chanvani. We want to figure out how much I use.
Ah, it's the other way around. Meaning right. You're not calculating how much money you need, but how much.
Exactly, how much is being bought. Ah. So now one third out of the equation, I really only use two thirds for bread.
Right.
So I need to add another third towards bread. That's going to take my two loaves of two sudos to three sudos. Now if I use double, two punyonim, I'm going to now get six sudos. Now using the model, let's say the other pinyon we'll see in the Gemara is that no, the Chanvani took actually 50%. He took half. So when I give a pudyon, half goes to him, the other half's used for bread. So now I need to use another half up to a full of a full pudyon. So now my one pudyon to two sudos really buys me four sudos. I need to double up.
Right.
Which means now two pudyon are buying me eight sudos.
Right.
So that's the calculation. Hopefully that made sense. Now we read inside the Gemara. It's going to flow, I hope, very nicely. The Gemara says, look back inside the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Tana, V'kovrim divrem lios shavim, that they come very close to each other. Where Rabbi Shimon said, got you nine meals, that's very similar to what Rabbi Yochanan would get you. But it's not really true. Midami, we just said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, arba sudasa lekava. Every kav only gets you four sudos. And Rabbi Shimon, we said, tisha sudasa lekava. It was nine. That's not very close at all. One kav to four meals, one kav to nine meals are very different. So Gemara says, no, amar Rav Chista, tzei mehem shlish lechenvani. You need to subtract the third that goes towards the Chanvani, and now that brings you the four meals of Pidyon, really turns into six meals. For every Kav, it's going to really give you six meals. Vakati, Lamar Tisha, Lamar Sheis. That's still a big difference. Nine and six is a big difference percentage-wise. Elakidach of Chista. It's another position of Chista. Damartei Mehen Mechs. You take out half of the Pidyon goes towards the Chanvani, so now you have to add another half of the amount, so then the four meals actually turns to eight meals. Now it's nine for Rabbi Shimon and eight meals according to Rabbi Yochanan after paying the chenvani. The Hainu Tamri, now it makes sense. Ukrovim divrem lios shavim, they're all going to be equal. Okay, let's stop here. And I said one more thing. Kashi of Chista of Chista. How could Chista say this? One time Chista says it's a pay a third to the chenvani. Another time he says pay a half to the chenvani. And the Gemara says, Lakasha, there is no contradiction. Hoda kayov bal habayis tzivi. Depends who's providing the firewood, who's providing the wood. So if the Baal Bais is paying for the wood, so you pay the Chanvani less. But if he's not paying for the firewood, rather the Chanvani is paying for the firewood, then you have to pay half the amount to cover the cost of the firewood. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Pritz Hashem will continue on Sunday.